You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, what's up, Sooner fans? Welcome back to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, David Walker. I'm a former Sooners offensive lineman. I'm the co-host of the Iron Horse podcast with former Dallas Cowboy Brandon Carr. You can follow me on Twitter at D_Walk74. And today we are bringing you the second edition of the Players Lounge here on Locked On Sooners. Now look, we had our first debut episode last week. We have Chris Mesner, Chris Chester, Wes Sims, John Flynn, and myself getting together, talking about former times as Sooners, sharing old stories, sharing some great memories, sharing a lot of laughs. And in episode one last week, we brought you some stories of working out under Jerry Schmidt, and we were in tears laughing about it. There's a lot of great content on last week's debut episode, so go back and check out that. And today we're going to pick up the back half of that conversation. We split it up into two episodes, so you'll hear more from that that grouping of guys. The five of us played together on the offensive line in the early 2000s there under Kevin Wilson as the offensive line coach, under Bob Stoops, and of course working out under Jerry Schmidt. And to give you a little sample of what you missed last week, if you want to go back and check out some of that, this is a clip of Chris Chester, who played 11 seasons in the National Football League, played his last game in the Super Bowl for the Falcons in that loss to the Patriots. And this is Chris Chester talking about running the ramps on the west side of the stadium as part of our conditioning, having to run the ramps up and down, getting timed both ways, and talking about leaving it all on the ramp and maybe having an out-of-body experience. So take a listen to this.
My entire athletic career, I'm talking from like elementary school to my professional career, I feel like I always was able to make workouts and do things. The two times I feel like I couldn't do it were both at Oklahoma. One as the aforementioned ramps. The ramps were the only time I feel like I gave everything and I just couldn't do it. I gave everything I had. I had no regrets, but I just couldn't do it.
But going up is hard, but coming down is no joke. Like it's harder than you think to have a time to make jogging down the ramp or running down the ramp without hurting yourself also.
Yeah, it's one thing to time it going up. It's another thing to time it coming down. Like, and if you don't make it coming down, I mean, that's a whole different mind game.
It's psychological warfare is what it is.
I ran up the ramp and then I went to Spanish class. Oh. That's what I did. I almost thought my soul left my body and then I went to Spanish.
Listen, that was a lot of fun and we had a heck of a time recording that episode and hanging out, catching up. And today we're going to roll into some memories of playing. The guys are going to share some of their favorite memories as Sooners on the field. There's some more funny stuff involved in that. And then we're going to segue into some current events, talking about Josh Heupel taking the Tennessee job. And a lot of us have different experiences with Hype back in the day. Wes played with Heupel. A lot of us played under Heupel when he was a grad assistant with us as the offensive line. And we had an interesting take on what we think about Josh taking the volunteer program over. And then in segment three, you're going to want to stick around for that. More laughs coming your way because we talk about some stories of playing against the defense and the antics of former defensive line coach Jackie Shipp and the character of all characters on the defensive staff, Mike Stoops. Some great Mike Stoops stories, great Jackie Shipp stories coming up in segment three. But for now, we're going to pick it up with some former player stories about being a Sooner. Let's dive back into the second half of our conversation on the second installment of the Locked On Sooners Players Lounge. So, all right, so it wasn't all bad, right? There was also the on-the-field stuff. So that's the bad side. That's the ugly side. And there's far worse where that came from that we might get to down the road on another one of these episodes. But, Wes, I'll start with you, man. Favorite play, because we're going to tee it up for Chester here in a minute, because, I mean, the man, you know, like you said, he came in as an athlete, and he's got the play of plays on this show. But, Wes, what was your favorite memory on the field as a Sooner that you as you look back on your time there?
Oh man, I mean, there were so many plays where, where something big came out of it. I mean, they're, Jason White and Adrian and playing with all those guys, and that was amazing. But I'd have to say, like, the one that, as an offensive lineman that you kind of remember, I remember we were playing in Colorado, and man, it was a long, tough game. And it was, I mean, they were playing us tight, and we were all sucking it up there because, the elevation and everything. And man, we ran Quentin Griffin probably 30 times that game. And every time we came off the sideline, all the skill guys had grabbed the oxygen, and we were all so pissed. And so the last drive, the one that kind of sealed the deal, is like an 8 or 9 minute drive in the fourth quarter. And we're about halfway down the field, and we were running those little quick hitter plays where we'd just yell like rocket or whatever it was, and we'd run up and run a play real quick.
Rocket
It was one of the
laser.
ones. Yeah.
Yep.
So it was a laser, and I'm pulling left, and I pull around, and there's a little bit of safety there, and I was like, oh, it's on. And so I smash him, and I'm about to fall down because there was no technique going on. You guys remember me, and I just was like, I'm going to try to put this guy on my highlight reel. And then the linebacker comes over, and it was almost an accident, and I smoked him too, and I was like, oh, I got a twofer, man. I wanted one of those so bad. So man, I remember that play. And I mean, we might have got a first down or whatever out of it, but it was just fun to smash some people. I mean, that was that as an O lineman, you always like to get a couple of them, and then you get a standover, especially when they're the little skinny guys that we got to chase the whole time. So
Yeah.
it's always fun to pancake a fatty, but whenever you get a couple of them little guys, that's special.
That's where it's at. Flynn, how about you, man?
Probably, well, I guess one sticks out. So my junior year, when we beat Texas 65-12, I'll note worst beating they've ever had by an Oklahoma team ever.
Hey.
But I think in the bottom of the third quarter, we were winning pretty big, and I was playing center, and we basically drove the whole length of the field against their ones, running power and counter the whole time. And I remember getting down to the goal line, and Coach Long had called power again, and I had been blocking back on Mike Williams, and I remember him looking at me. I think we were on like the 3 yard line or something. And every time I was blocking back, I got tired of blocking back, and I was trying to get some knockdown total. So I kept cutting him, and he looked at me, and he goes, like, right before the play, we run something, he goes, "Flynn, you gotta stop cutting me." And I just remember thinking, like, I remember in my mind, like, I couldn't have been more proud of like playing for Oklahoma, like killing these dudes in the Cotton Bowl, and we scored on that. I cut him, and we scored on that play. And I just remember, like, every time I go back to playing, like truly dominating that team, I mean, we got after them, boy, and we were just running power and counter and short passes every now and then, and that was about it. The other series that sticks out is one of the last series against A&M my junior year, when we were beating them 70-0, and we got told not to score, which we did, and we got in trouble for it.
Yep.
But I remember it being kind of a funny series too, because Dante was in the huddle, and he had to go poop. Sorry, Turd, I love you, man. I'm throwing you out there.
No,
but I remember
no pun intended.
He's like, "Hey man," he's like, "God, if I get hit again, like, I gotta go poop so bad." And we're running power. And anyways, we wind up scoring, and I don't know what happened after that, but that's another series that I go back to, because all the time we're winning big and we're driving and scoring and about to score again, and the whole time we're cracking up in the huddle and having a good time. So I guess two series for me.
Yeah, do you
Didn't
remember?
they?
They told us
Don't
not
you
to
remember
score on the goal line.
they put in fullback give on that drive so we wouldn't score?
We made it out. I remember that.
Yep.
Yep.
That was mine too.
With the last fullback on the roster, probably.
Yeah, it was like Townsend, and I think they
yeah.
Cork might have got it too.
Yeah, so, I think we were past Dan, weren't we? Or was
yeah.
it?
I don't know.
Doesn't give anybody the ball.
It's crazy. It's like pulled somebody's red shirt to not score in this
yeah.
And we still scored.
So
well, and you know what? The reason why we did it is because Will's, they had called the timeout or something. We got chewed out and basically got told not to score. And then we go out there and basically Wills is like, hey, just don't block your guy, like fall down. Well, y'all remember that big nose guard they had, like
John Jolly.
He basically
Jolly. I remember it very well.
It's he basically vertical suplex Dante, and then like celebrated. We were like, yeah, all right, that's it. And then we had enough after that, and we scored. And I don't care if we got in trouble or had to do up downs on Monday. I didn't care. Yeah. That was worth it.
Yeah. Yes, it was. Now, 77 sounds so much better, Flint.
Yes, it does.
You made the right decision.
But the reality, though, was even after that, we had another drive where we were on the goal line, first and goal at the four. We took a knee on first down. And then I think Bob – because it's like – I mean, there was like 11 minutes left still in the game. Like, we were about to score 84 right there. And Bob's in the play. After we took a knee, I think he kind of felt like, well, man, maybe that's even worse. Maybe that's more embarrassing to kneel down. So the next play was like 27 power, but they said don't score. And I remember Dante looking like, oh, man, come on. You know, like, now he's going to go carry the ball again, not scoring. But that meant for me, I had to go pull. And we ran that same play three times in a row, and I'm pulling on the goal line knowing that we're not going to score. So I'm like feeling this whole linebacker scream, and I'm kind of like doing my thing, you know, coming like about to get ear holed for a play we're not trying to score on. And that was a wild night, though. That was one that even as A&M has gotten better, it's really hard not to look back on that and be like, man, we got ridiculed by national media for running up the score on them, and we could have made it worse. And in hindsight, I almost wish we would have.
They just quit straight up.
They quit. You could tell.
I mean, you're just grabbing like lifeless bodies. Like they just didn't want to be there. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And like that. And then the closest thing to that I ever saw again was every time the last two times we played Texas, and those guys asking you to stop cutting them, like Clint was saying, or stop hitting me, or take
stop
it easier.
You gotta stop cutting me. Or, like, are you serious?
Or patting you on the back halfway through the play, like, okay, man, you got me. Like, what? Like, who says that?
Would you ever out of if your kids
the two biggest Texas schools?
Yeah.
Oh, makes me sick a little bit. I was having a nice night too.
All right, so I want to save the best for last, Chester, because you got the play of plays. But Mesmer, I want to tee it up for you and your close encounter with the touchdown. Set it up for us. What happened? How'd it go down? How'd it go awry?
Yeah. So I don't know if it's definitely my biggest play. My best football play, we'll save for another night because it's less interesting for sure. So,
no, hold on. Wait, no, we don't want to shortchange your reception. Talk about your career
reception.
No,
it's a tangent. No, well, it was Oklahoma State my senior year. It was my best game ever.
Okay.
But that's here nor there. There's a lot of good reach blocking and down blocking. It's very fundamental. But,
hey, we love it here. We love it here.
I know, right? Good footwork, everything. Can't get enough. Yeah, no, this, Missouri, like, that was the biggest sports moment of my life, you know, right? The moment. I remember we put it in there and we had put the fake fumble in. I remember we put it in that week and then, oh my gosh. And I remember everything. I remember the whole game seemed like to be setting up for like kind of that moment. I was like, there's no way this is going to happen. But like, you know how it is. It's like, well, they scored again. And like, then we scored. I'm like, oh, well, we just kicked the field. Like, you know, just the timing of everything was just like, we're going to need some sort of play to like kind of to put us over the edge, right? To create some separation. Long story short, I'm in the huddle. It's Trey DiCarlo. I'm like, hey, throw me a jump ball. He didn't appreciate my leaping ability. So he was a little underthrown. So I had it in my mind, like, I'm like, this is gonna be a jump ball. I'm gonna go up and get this thing. You know, former basketball player, you know, David appreciates it, get a rebound. I had it in my mind, like, it's gonna be a jump ball, and then I jumped before the pass was probably even in the air. It was a little underthrown, catch it with my elbows. It was the worst catch I've probably ever had, but a catch nonetheless. A catch in your box score.
Got it with your elbows.
Yeah, if get on YouTube, give it a look. It wasn't very pretty.
We're going to.
I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now.
I mean, maybe not right now.
I could stand to listen to Brent Musburger or somebody call the catch. I can stand to listen to the call.
All right, so
I appreciate Wes keeping your hands, like, played it off pretty well. Not ruining my. Also, I also want to point out that I have 2 receptions in my career as a tight end at Oklahoma. One in a fake field goal. One was late in a game, like my sophomore year against Texas Tech from Paul Thompson. Shout out to PT Cruiser. It was like a 5-yard hit right out of bounds, you know. So just 2 receptions. Don't get fixated on one. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. You're not a one trick pony here. We got that 5-yard out.
It was cool. No, the coolest part of that thing was, I think it was Pasha and Bush convinced me to change my voicemail to. Do you remember this, man? Does anybody remember this? Okay. They convinced me to change my voicemail to something along the lines of, like, I'm not available right now, but you can catch me on the SportsCenter top 10. I remember driving around Norman, and someone on the back of their car put Chris Chester as the man after that game. They put a little paint on there. That was nice. I appreciated that from the student body. That was nice.
Sweet. So, Mesner, yeah. You hear that touchdown story, and I want to segue to your close encounter. Can you give us the story behind your near touchdown?
Absolutely. Because, you know, it's one of those haunting moments. It was like, you know, here it is. You've scored in high school. Now you can score in college. No, you can't. Davin Joseph, but
not bitter.
Yeah, not bitter at all. We're playing Oregon. That was a Holiday Bowl, San Diego. Wes was already with the Chargers, I believe, at the time.
Yeah,
and
I was there, man.
So I was playing tackle. I think Davin was playing the other tackle at the time, and. Adrian, man, he was just running the rock. We're, you know, give it to him right, give it to him left, run your ass off and stay in front of people just long enough for him to run by you. And I thought he rarely fumbled, but I always pursued down the field thinking, you know, just in case I get my shot, I'm going to be right there. I'm going to scoop and score. And lo and behold, it happened. In textbook, I go down, scoop. At this point, I've been running maybe like 30 yards, 20 yards. It felt like 50, but I'm like, this is it. I'm gonna get across the end zone, and I did. And I remember feeling so jacked up and juiced. And then, you know, everybody's giving me high five, patting the helmet, and I hear somebody go, "Oh no!" And at that point, I was like, "Oh crap! I don't want to have to do that again." And I turned around, and there was a holding, and there's, you know, holding number 77. And I got that sick feeling after that. So we ended up scoring on the drive, but it was like, come on, man, that was my one shot. Could you have just like not held? It didn't matter. He fumbled it anyway. So,
But hey,
I remember that. Wes and I were at that game. You remember that, Wes?
Yeah.
We were going crazy for you, man, on the sideline.
I've never had so many text messages after a game in my life. You know, and we went to a bunch of big-time games and stuff like that, and usually you'd expect, you know, a few text messages after a game. Hey, I saw you, all that. No, my phone literally blew up. And I was like, oh, my gosh, and I didn't even score. That's crazy. So,
but see, you can doctor that video, though. I mean, you could go back and watch the video and just cut it off. You know, let your kids look at it. Everybody slapping you on the helmet. Yeah. Touchdown. Right. Beautiful.
This was my moment.
Like, this is your old man. You see that?
Yeah.
You see that?
Talking about favorite moments. After jumping off sides at Oregon twice in a row, like, Wes Sims got a bad rap, okay? It was senior night for him, and it's quiet in the stadium, and they're introducing him. And some jack wagon out of the crowd waits till it gets silent as they're introducing Wes, saying, "Don't jump off sides." And everybody in the stadium started cracking up, even the guy standing next to Wes. I was like, oh, dude, that's horrible.
I was like, man, you got me. That's pretty funny. I was like, not on senior night, but man, you got me.
he did. He got you. But I felt your pain after I did it twice at Oregon.
So. Oh, yeah. They'll find a way. They'll get you.
We'll be back with more right here on the Players Lounge of the Locked On Sooners podcast. But first, I want to tell you about rockauto.com. Now, chain stores, they have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, but RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear like an airline does. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account logins. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Again, amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcasts. And now, let's dive right back into our conversation on the Players Lounge as we talk about Josh Heupel at Tennessee and give our take on the hire. Hey, one thing I want to ask you guys about, Josh Heupel just took the Tennessee job. And, you know, we all had a little bit of experience with Hype on some level. Some of you guys played with him. Some of us were, he was a GA for us on the offensive line. But what do you guys think about Heupel at Tennessee? I mean, are you excited for him? You think it's a good fit? Like, what's your thought there?
Man, I'm excited for Heupel to to see him to get a chance to move his career along, to kind of progress it. I mean, he's had some great stops where he's been. Unfortunately, man, Tennessee's just been a dumpster fire. So, I mean, if he can just get him to a bowl game, I mean, he's moving in the right direction. So, I'm going to be pulling for him. I am. But, man, I would have loved to have seen him go to school in a little better place to start off.
Yeah. I think he's got his work cut out for him. I think he's totally capable. I was a little surprised. I mean, you know, as a coach, he's going from coaching – you know, in Florida, kind of a sweet deal, gets good recruits there. But like Wes said, to see him progress his career along is great. Seeing what he can do, just like all of us, we're up for a challenge. I think if anybody knows Hype, you know he's up for a challenge. But like recruiting, that whole animal and the SEC, Big 12, all that stuff, that's such a big thing these days. I think he's got the personality. He's been around so many great other coaches just outside of guys we know that I think he's going to do good things. But, you know, I don't know what you guys think, but that's what I feel.
Yeah, I think, like y'all, I think he's going to do great. I've been around Hype for a long time, and, you know, he cares about his players. He cares about doing a good job. He's very methodical in what he does, and – you know, and of course, when I was coaching, you know, he kind of mentored me, you know, in my coaching career. And so a lot of the football that I know came from him. And so, you know, he's smart. He's capable, cares about his players. He's a better father and better husband than he is football coach. And so I think a lot of that trickles down into his role as a coach, and I think that spills over into his players. It's evident too, you know, when you watch Central Florida play or any of his other offenses at OU or Missouri, or when he was at Utah State there for a little bit, you know, he'll have an immediate impact, and I hope he does great.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I think you guys have pretty much nailed it. You know, his teams are good because he cares about his players. You know, it makes a difference on what you get out of your players if they know you're sincere and you're in their corner. So that alone always will give him a chance. Obviously, you know, there's the SEC. It's going to be tough. Very that being said, like, you know, he's got that relationship. Like, he's got that recruiting base in Florida. You would think he may have built, right? And it's Tennessee also, right? It's also the SEC. You know, it's good and bad, right? It's tough, but you're also getting some top-notch players. You know, I think if I'm going to go real, like, analytical on this thing, I think he'll need a player. Like, he's going to have a good recruiting, some good recruiting classes to really, like, so the country can really see like what kind of coach he is. You know what I mean? Because talent eventually matters, right?
Well, right. And but he's not new to the SEC necessarily too, because he was at Missouri. So yes, you know, I think he understands that dynamic. You know, he also coached with Levy at South Florida or wherever. And Levy's doing great things too, and it points back to what you guys were saying. He does. He cares for his players. Both those guys do, and it's evident in the kind of play that those guys go out there and achieve.
Yeah, and also his dad's a coach, right? I mean, he grew up as a coach's kid, so it's not like him being a coach makes sense. Like it's within him. He grew up around it. I think that has always been something. I look at him and his trajectory. I think a lot of us probably thought, you know, he was in line to succeed Bob at one point, right? I mean, it's kind of seemed like that was natural progression. Obviously, it went a different direction. Lincoln came in, and that's gone well for Oklahoma. I think it's caused some bitterness. You know, there's a lot of stories out there about Josh and, you know, the separation from the program. And as we were just sitting around here talking about, you know, like the brotherhood and the memories and the bonds and things like that, you hate to see a guy that has such a great, really, just, I mean, great legacy, so much importance to Oklahoma football, the last national title. You hate to see him estranged from the program in any way. But I do personally feel like him taking this Tennessee job, him getting to the SEC, him having kind of doing his own thing, establishing himself, I'm pulling for him to have a great year, a great tenure there, because I think the more success he has independent of Oklahoma, then I think it will be a more natural healing process that's going to come full circle one day. I hope it's come sooner than later that he's able to kind of have a moment where he comes back to Owen Field and gets the ovation and gets the warm fuzzies from the fan base. And because, you know, when he left as coordinator, I feel like it probably left a bad taste in his mouth. He kind of got scapegoated for the offenses and whatnot. But ever since he's left, I mean, he's done nothing but continue that career trajectory of success. So I don't see any reason why he can't win at Tennessee, other than, like you said, Chester. I mean, it's the SEC. There's not a lot of easy wins on that schedule. But if there were any easier wins to be found, it is in the Eastern Division, where you get Vandy, you get Kentucky, you get Missouri. And then you're just really looking at, like, can we split with Georgia, Florida, and then go beat South Carolina, you know? So it's – I think there's winnable games there where he can get good early. But right now he's walking into a mess. I mean, Oklahoma is being the benefactor right now of the exodus. I mean, it's open season on that roster. So
And that's the next – it's like time, right? Does he have – will he have the time to turn the program around?
Yeah.
And I hope he does. You know, I really hope he does, right?
I think so too, and I think a lot of this kind of mirrors, in my opinion, I think it mirrors Bob's arrival at Oklahoma. Now, I know that Oklahoma and Tennessee, Oklahoma's history and, you know, tradition of winning championships and things like that. Frankly, I don't know where Tennessee is on that scale, but, you know, in regards to being a larger conference, a bigger school, SEC, Big 12, this kind of mirrors Bob showing up at Oklahoma. I mean, you know, because after Coach Switzer got let go, you know, after that, Oklahoma was kind of in a downward spiral from, you know, the early 90s until Bob got there. So, you know, Bob shows up taking a risk, hiring a bunch of young coaches, and all of a sudden, you know, flips the script and turns Oklahoma into kind of what we have been for, you know, the past 20 years or so. You know, it'd be, in my opinion, really neat to see hype go in, you know, and win at Tennessee, because you can win there. I mean, you know, you can win there. And I think, you know, I don't know. For me, I think it'd be really cool if he turned it into something, you know, kind of special. I think, like you, David, not that he needs any validation as a football coach, but it'll kind of show, like, hey, I can have an immediate and a positive impact anywhere I coach.
Right.
You know, I think that'll show that.
We'll be back with more from the Players Lounge here on the Locked On Sooners podcast. But first, I want to tell you about betonline.ag. Look, the Super Bowl is coming up. We're just 3 days away. And if you want to get in on the action, you don't have to sit on the sideline anymore. If you want to put some money on the Super Bowl, college basketball, NBA games, NHL games, we got Major League Baseball around the corner. BetOnline.ag has you covered, and they're the only name we trust if you want to make a bet. And if you want to get in on that action, use the promo code LOCKEDON and get a 50% bonus with your first deposit. You get a welcome bonus if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. So put some money on something if you're interested in that and use our promo code LOCKEDON. Get your bonus. Get your welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And do you want to hear more about the Big 12? Look, here on the Players Lounge, we're all about the Big 12. We all got Big 12 championship rings to our name. We enjoy talking Big 12. And if you enjoy listening to the Big 12 coverage, go check out Locked On Big 12 with my guy Joshua Neighbors. He does a great job going around the league, talking about different things going on, whether that's on and off the field, on and off the court, all things Big 12 conference all the time on the Locked On Big 12 podcast. So subscribe to that wherever you get your podcasts. And now we're about to dive right back into our last installment of this edition of the Players Lounge. We're going to be talking about some old stories of Mike Stoops, Jackie Shipp, the defensive coaching staff, and be prepared to laugh a little bit, have some fun with us, and we'll catch you on the other side.
Hey, I was just thinking about this. Before these three guys here from Tennessee transferred to Oklahoma, did we play with the last guy to transfer from Tennessee to Oklahoma? Ooh. Lynn Magruder.
Lynn Magruder.
Ooh, we did. Man. I forgot about Bobo.
Bobo.
That's right.
From Tennessee.
Good call.
He did. I forgot about smokes. That.
Ooh, that fill your Sooner bingo card out right
yeah.
there. That's a good one.
You should have done Sooner trivia.
Oh, man.
You should have did a trivia, and then David could have gone to commercial, and then, you know, yeah. we come back and –
If Dang. I wasn't using my phone, I would have Googled it up to make sure that
was legit. No, was.
Right. I'm quite sure.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's right. It seems right. It feels right.
Yeah. The question would be, you know, out of these three guys, will any of them come in and smile at any point on campus? Like, I don't know that I saw Lynn Magruder smile more than maybe twice, and I think it was on accident.
Yeah. That's a... He wasn't there to make friends.
No, he was. Listen, he was not there to make friends. But listen, if you were playing for Jackie Shipp back then, like, you weren't trying to make any friends. You were trying to survive.
You're not smiling either.
No. No, but you hit work when you went with.
He led the Big 12 in creases and jeans.
Oh, dude.
He did a lot of up downs. He did a lot of up downs for Jackie.
Listen.
Well, and you also did what when you went where? Right.
Yeah. Wait, what?
None of it made sense.
Good. You did what when you went where?
Good.
Good.
It was always followed by good, and everybody would just sit there in their helmet, like they just nod real fast, like yeah, sure, whatever, coach, whatever, just whatever it takes to get to the part where you say good. Yeah.
I remember Coach Shipp telling Dan Cody, "Hey, Dan, go ahead and try one of those experimental moves you've been working on during pass rush."
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. Y'all remember the Arsenal? Clyde?
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 You call the Arsenal?
Or Claude? Was it Claude?
Oh, my gosh.
I remember that dude. What was the old coach? Bobby Jack. Bobby Jack was talking to him, and he was like, "What are you trying to do? You can't bull rush him." He said, "Coach, I got so many moves in my repertoire. I got a whole arsenal over here." And so he just called him Arsenal for the rest of the days. Whole arsenal.
Coach Shipp came to my high school, so I know he knows where Fort Gibson is. He came to my high school, walked in the weight room, watched his workout for a little while, talked to my coach. And when I get on campus, my whole freshman year, scout team center, going against Dusty and Tommy and Lynn and Corey Klein, WWE champion Jake Hager. But all those guys. And then, Jackie would never call me by my name, but he would call me Fort something. But it was always some random Fort. Fort Knox, Fort Seal, Fort Smith, Fort something. And I was like, "Come on, hey, Fort Smith, get the snap." And I'm like, "All right, yeah." So I started impersonating him over the years in the locker room. And one day he approached me on after the practice field. He's like, "Hey, Fort Smith." And I'm thinking, like, first of all, if you're going to address me, come on now, at least get my ticket. He goes, "Have you been impersonating me in that locker room?" And I was like, "Oh, no, coach, not me, man." And he's like, he looked at me like, "I know you're lying, but whatever." You know, I'm like denying it. I feel like my life was on the line. But like 2 years in, I remember saying, like, Coach, you know I'm from Fort Gibson. I was like, oh, I know, Dave. I just like to give you a hard time. I was like, okay, thanks.
Like, okay, just, he's like, oh, just, you, oh, he's like, oh, you know my name.
Yeah, and you know my name. Okay, cool. Appreciate it. Unique individual.
Oh, yeah. I love Jackie, man. He was funny. As long as he wasn't our coach, he was funny.
Anyway. Oh, no doubt.
For sure. We were going to talk about our favorite bowl game memories, but I want to save that for another one. We could go all night long on that. But so Mike Stoops almost went to Texas, apparently. That was like the big rumor last week. Supposedly Mike was going to Texas. I'm sitting here trying to wrap my mind around him, you know, on the sideline, in burnt orange, dancing, doing his like shake thing in between plays, all that stuff. But what does anybody got a Mike Stoops memory or two? I mean, because that guy, you talk about the most intense person. I mean, I know we've shared some Schmitty stories, and kind of what inspired me to like want to have some of these conversations was, as we were, you know, Flynn and Wes, we kind of came on together a few weeks ago to talk about Coach Stoops' legacy. It's really hard to separate Bob from Schmitty and also Bob from Mike, given all the years they had together and just the way how intense Mike was on the sideline. So who wants to give a Mike Stoops recollection?
I'll go first.
Man, if you're – so, Chester, if you're going to tell – I have a story. It's about you.
Tell the story. I feel like you're –
No, hold on. Is that the one you're going to tell, though? Because I witnessed it. You were a part of it.
I want you to tell the story, then I'll provide context.
Ooh, that'd be great. Okay. So freshman year, we're on scout team. And I can't remember what you did. It was a pass play. You ran a certain route or whatever, and I don't know. You were open, and you caught the ball. I can't remember what happened. Or something happened where you were open. And, of course, Mike gets pissed, and he's like, the hell you do? Run it again, you know, and we had to come back and run the play again. The hell you do? I tell you what. None of you is going to the bowl game.
That's you guys all suck. Every last one of you.
So, anyways, we get back on the line. Chester runs a complete different route.
Open again.
And boy, Mike comes over there heated, pissed, boy, at Chester. And he's like, I tell you, what the hell you do? Did you see the card? And he's like punching the card and everything else. Chester goes, Coach, I thought I'd switch it up on him. Boy, Mike was livid, pissed. Oh my goodness, boy. I'm losing in the huddle, cracking up laughing, man. So funny. So funny. That's when I think of Mike Stoops, I think of that particular story.
That's no. And you know what, though? For all of Mike's times where I feel like he probably was maybe too angry, he's probably right to be angry then.
He did.
Yeah. He had to. No, here's the thing, though. This is stupid, or maybe not stupid, naive freshman Chris, redshirt freshman, scout team Chris. And, like, I was kind of like – I was still – like, I think we were coming out of training camp, and I was kind of, like, in the mode. I was like, hey, I'm just trying to, like, get the ball and get open, right? Like, and that was – so that was my rationale. I was like, hey, I can't run the same route. Don't know. That won't work.
Hell no.
Yeah.
They're going to know what I'm going to do. That's all. I'll never get open.
Who ran the cards for y'all that year?
Brandon Hall. B-Hall.
Yeah. B-Hall, man.
He's at Troy
got
now.
Me the year before, too, a couple times.
Was Seth the trailer?
Wrong cards.
Was Seth? Did Seth? No, Seth. Man, I'm kidding. I don't think he was there.
I think Seth was there because didn't he go with Mangino when he went to Kansas after that year? I think Seth was there for like 1 year. Yeah. What was like, my first year?
Okay.
Anyways,
yeah, no. So Mike Stoops, for all the times, I feel like he may have not needed to yell at me. I've definitely had that one coming. If we're gonna be to
so
me
funny.
For the sake of fairness, yeah, no, that was that's up there in my low light. Coaching correction, real.
I remember my freshman year. It was the week that they decided to redshirt me, and so they moved me over to scout team. And B Hall had all of his cards, and usually 99% of the time he'd show us the right card, but every once in a while he'd show us the wrong one, and we'd all go out there and they would tear everybody's ass except B Hall's. Like, I was like, all 11 of us didn't fuck up. Let's think about this.
And B-Hall, you get back to the huddle, and B-Hall's got the smile, like everything's okay, guys. Oh, he's super nice.
And we'd always look at B-Hall and be like, B-Hall, man, you sold us out.
And he switched the card. No, man, it says right there.
Yeah,
he
just aw shucks says, he kind of like, oh, come on, guys, you know, we should get back in here.
So anyway, we go out, we run it, and I blocked whatever was on the card, and it was wrong. And we, I guess we were supposed to like double team the three technique, and I kick out on the end or something. And Mike lost it, man. He is dropping F-bombs from the other side of the field, running over there at me. And Venables is like also coming in, but he's just doing his little, you know, jerky walk also. And I was like, awesome. So I'm just waiting to get it from both sides, basically. And they get there, and Mike's like, what? You effing F? And I was like, that's a new one. And so I'm like, damn. And so then Venables starts going off on me. And I was like, damn. And they was like, what do you got to say for yourself? And I was like, man, I'm a dumbass. And they were just like, all right. And walked off. And I was like, yes. I thought I was going to just get at you in the whole practice. And I was like, awesome. We're going to say, yeah, you are. Yeah, he just looked at me and said, okay, and nodded like, yeah, you are. Well, pretty much. So, yeah, I are.
Mez, you got
Scout team probably brings back the worst being on the receiving end of the worst hit I've ever taken.
Same. That's gonna be a part of mine too. So please share yours. That's a part of mine.
Let me just say this. It always starts with reload, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh jeez,
I know. Because you didn't change it up. They know what you're doing.
Run it again.
Not the setup. Yeah. All right, sorry, guys. My bad, Miss. Go ahead.
You know, hey, we're over there to get better. We're over there to compete, right, Chessie?
Right.
Over there to get better.
Yeah, you're there to survive.
I did my job. Why are you punishing me?
Yep.
So, Russell Dennison was playing linebacker. He's playing like Sam. And so I'm scout team tackle, and I got to reach him on his own play. And I come off. I mean, I'm hauling butt, and I get to his outside shoulder. I pin him. I'm like, heck yeah. You know, I did my job. And that was the wrong thing to do, apparently, because immediately after that happened, you know, the running back makes it outside, and, you know, Coach Venables is losing his ever-loving mind. And he's saying run it again. Coach Mike's saying run it again. Reload. So, we lined back up. Before I could even come out of my stance, Russell Dennison hits me so hard in the chin, I literally do a back somersault on the ground. I didn't know which way was up. I didn't know which way was down. I just knew, like, I just got rolled, basically. And I got them to thank for that. That wonderful moment in my life.
Appreciate you, Russell.
Yeah.
You should have changed it up on him.
Yeah, I should have.
Yeah, I just ran the other way. You should have cut him. Coming downhill like that, just cut him.
So, Mezra, mine came before that. Mezra, remember we came in at freshman? We had, back then, we still did like freshman 2 days. So we were out there for like a couple days before the rest of the guys got there. And like, Davin Joseph, bless his heart, was the only defensive lineman. He came in as a D lineman. Wow. He was with Jackie all day for two sessions a day by himself before they finally moved him over with us. But we were doing that freshman 2 days. It's kind of like, hey, you know what? Like, we can hang with each other. We got this, you know? And then it's like, everybody else shows up. And I'm playing center. I've never snapped the ball in my life, but I'm playing center on scout team. Like, coach was like, hey, they needed me and Abner to both be centers. So I'm running scout team center. And my first play on the practice field 2 days, I got to go reach Lance Mitchell, who was the Mike backer, like built like, I mean, I think he went like 250, 255. I mean, just
JUCO transfer.
Yeah. JUCO transfer.
He's got a couple reps under his belt.
Yeah. Just, yep. I mean, Lance Mitchell like doesn't get enough credit in that 2004 national championship game. We lost, like, not having Lance, that people don't know how much he meant to that defense. So that's a whole nother tangent, but I'm trying to go reach Lance Mitchell, and I'm thinking in my head, like, my naive former high school player mindset is, I just got to get my head across, man. Just get, you know, snap the ball, get out there, get your head across. And I did get my head across. And I got my head across only to get ear-holed so hard, knocked on my right hip. Like, I mean, I reach him with my left side of my body. He hits me so hard, I land on my right hip, and like I feel like I got a hip pointer. I don't even know if I even know what that means, but I'm laying there, my hip is throbbing. I'm disoriented, and I just hear Mike yelling in his high pitch, "Who's a center? Who the F is a center?" And I'm literally like, there was a moment in time as I'm laying there hurting, and I'm thinking like, whoever the center is screwed. And I forgot I was the center for a second. And I get back up in the huddle to walk back, and I just see him looking. I'm just trying to get back in the huddle before he identifies me. So maybe he'll just forget, but nope. He walked around, grabbed me by the face mask. All right, yeah, was it that bad? Like, my effort was there, you know, I don't know, but like, yeah, it was a wake-up call. It was my introduction to college football and my introduction to Mike all in the same time. Yeah, Lance Mitchell, bringing it. Bringing that.
Like, you simply could have told me to do better next time.
Yeah, just like, hey, man. Yeah, like, that was not the proper way to do it. Let's just let's adjust our tone. But, man, this was a lot of fun tonight. And,
yeah, man.
No doubt, yep.
We could probably sit here and go longer, but our wives would probably wonder
it's
what we're doing.
School night.
Mesner's got to put some grades in the computer. Mesner's got to put grades in the computer. Some of us got to go get up for work. So we'll cut it off. But, man, thank you guys for coming on. We'll do this again sometime down the road. We got a lot more we can cover, but – hope you guys enjoy the content tonight, and follow us on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. Go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a rating, write us a review, and we'll be back more with more Players Lounge down the road. And for John Flynn, Chris Mesner, Wes Sims, Chris Chester, I'm David Walker. Until we see you next time, Boomer Sooner.
Boomer.
Boomer. Billy.